And it's that time of the week again. Yes, on a Thursday we have Portsmouth Authors Collective with myself, Laurie Westron, and a guest author every week. And today it is going to be Donna Van. A little bit about Donna. After setting a friend's kitchen on fire while creating a school science fair project, Donna decided that writing about science stuff was probably safer than doing experiments herself. She grew up in Texas, but has lived in the UK for many years. And Donna has had 10 books traditionally published, most for children. She has also self-published 2 family memoirs, a book of nativity dramas, and her most recent, a chapter book for ages 6 to 9, Super Cousins, The Frankenpops Rescue. She is working on another chapter book. It's called Galactic Dog, about a terrier who accidentally teleports into space, as well as poems, picture books, and novels. Donna lives in Leon Solent with her husband of 45 years, Roger. And when not writing, she enjoys hiking, cycling, cooking, learning languages, and hanging around with family. And the book of the week this week is Super Cousins. It's Frankenpop's Rescue by Donna Van. And I have Donna in the room with me now. Hi, Donna. How are you doing?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Oh, another American.
Yes, another American from slightly further south.
So, yeah, interesting book. I will just read a little blurb that Laurie's given me. So,
okay.
And Josh is excited about turning 10. Finally, double digits in his life will be totally different from now on. But not in the way he expects. When an evil alien invades Josh's birthday party, the 4 cousins accidentally receive superpowers, which they will need to save their family and the world. An exciting, dyslexia-friendly book for ages 6 to 9. It'll work for me too.
Oh, good.
Okay, so some questions for you and find out a little bit more about you. What inspired you to write about 4 cousins with superpowers?
Well, you know, normally authors know this. You should never write about people that you know. But it was during lockdown, and I was so frustrated because we couldn't see the grandkids, the 4 that live in the UK, only an hour and a half from us. We were not able to see except on Zoom. And, you know, I think the word Zoom is appropriate with kids because they Zoom in. Hi.
And Zoom out.
And they Zoom out, and that's it. So you really don't get to see them. And so I thought, I love the idea of superpowers. I'll just put them in a book so that I can experience them and be with them in this book. So I chose the 4 personalities of the cousins based on the personalities of my grandkids.
That's interesting. You know, whenever an author comes in, I obviously have the picture of them, the real person in the room with me, and I try to imagine their character in some way and their writing styles, and somehow I don't see Super Gran as the superhero writer, but I think we're going to find out why, aren't we? Tell us a bit more about the 4 cousins, if you would.
Well, first of all, there's Josh. He's 10. He's just turned 10. He's a clever kid, but he'd like to be more confident, so I think that is the interior plot line of the story. He thinks that having superpowers will make him really confident and, you know, everything will be great. But actually, he finds out that having courage is not about having a superpower. It's about doing the thing that's in front of you, being brave even when you don't feel like you want to be brave, and then courage comes from that.
Wow, yeah. So what effect are you hoping that the book will have on your readers?
Well, I've been told it's really exciting that people who've tried to read it and stopped, they couldn't stop, so they just kept reading.
That's a good start.
Yes, good start. But it's also very funny. I really hope kids can escape from their own lives for a while reading this book and, you know, just have an adventure that's something completely unexpected and crazy and many times just goofy and silly, but also just learning underneath that a little bit about what true courage is.
One of the things that I mentioned in the blurb in the beginning is an exciting dyslexia-friendly book. How does that come about?
The dyslexia friendly bit?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, I have a friend whose book I was looking at as far as the design of the book and so on, and I noticed that she had put dyslexia friendly on the cover, and I thought, oh, that's good because one of my grandkids is dyslexic. I should look into that. So it's all about using a particular typeface. You have a choice of fonts that you can use, about not making anything in all caps. You can use bold if you want want to exaggerate something, but not all caps, for example. So
yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I'm not massively dyslexic, but I am a little bit. And I'm a singer, and I used to have a cheat sheet all the time and write out my lyrics in capital letters. And I struggled.
Oh, interesting.
And I learned, no, don't do that.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
So now it's not in capitals, and it is easier to read. I do still struggle to read. And I think also, I don't know if it's a dyslexia thing that's, and I might talk to Laurie about this later in part two, there's dyslexia. And there's also the fear of reading out loud in front of people, which dyslexic people suffer from even more, I think.
I can imagine.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, more interesting stuff to come from you, Donna. What are the most fun and the least fun parts of writing for you?
Well, absolutely the most fun is getting ideas. I have folders and boxes, actually, of random ideas that I will probably never use. But I just love getting just crazy ideas and seeing how they might combine in a story. But then the least fun is trying to take those gazillion ideas and whittle them down and make them work in the story. So not have quite so many ideas, but have fewer ones and really develop them properly.
Yeah, I suppose, as with all authors, it's a case of having all those ideas to help get you started, and then trying to choose just the best ones.
That's right, yeah.
I talked about this with Laurie last week, and how many drafts does the average author do of their finished piece? Right. How many would you say?
Well, it's really hard to say. I know J.K. Rowling said she rewrote chapter one of Harry Potter 15 times. I think that's quite a low number, actually.
Wow.
I suspect there might have been a few more that she didn't mention there. I think, many times.
Yeah, we don't have to pin it down. Yeah. It just intrigues me that you have to have that vision to have the finished product, and it's not done until you're ready and say that's right. It's complete. Same as an artist, you know, when is a job finished?
That's
it never really is. You just have to stop at some point, I think. So.
And at some point you have to say, this is it. I'm drawing a line under it. It's as good as I can make it. It's not War and Peace, you know. I'm not J.K. Rowling or whatever. This is as good as I can make it.
It's not overnight that a novel comes together, is it?
No, and you have to love this concept. You have to love the characters, and you have to love the concept enough to spend quite a bit of time with them.
Does your book live on in your head after you've written it? Are you rewriting it?
Not rewriting it, but sometimes I revisit it and go, oh, that was such a fun scene. And
that's great.
Yeah, I just really love how that worked out and that kind of thing.
I know many singer-songwriters, not so much in the writing of the song, but the performing of it in a recording studio, they're never happy with it, never.
I can imagine that.
So does that happen with an author also?
I think I've been quite fortunate in that my books have... I write very slowly. Normally, the Super Cousins I wrote quickly, but normally I write quite slowly, so there's a lot of time to reflect, and then it's taken a long time for those books to get published as well. So our 14 books have been published, most of which are still in print. It took a long time for those to come to fruition. So by the time they ended up in the bookshop, I was pretty pleased with them.
Yeah, and I guess to have 14 out, something to be very, very proud of, and hopefully they're selling well enough to make it worthwhile being on the shelves.
Well, I think you've got to decide as an author, are you going for the cash? Are you going because you want to get what's in your heart out into the hearts of other people? So it's not that we shouldn't want to sell books. Of course we want to sell books. Once I realized my motivation wasn't a return on my investment, then that freed me up to use a little bit of savings to fund a certain project.
Yeah, and that's a good way. And art is art at the end of the day. And I guess the main thing for you is to get your story down onto paper and see it as a hardback or a softback.
That's absolutely right.
Paperback.
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
Do you have any ideas for a sequel?
I do. The sequel will take place on an island off Central America, and it is provisionally entitled Super Cousins, The Volcano of Vengeance.
That's amazing. I love that. I want to read the book already.
Oh, good. So, maybe you can read it and tell me what it's about, and then I can write it down.
Is that how it works? Do you have your books in local bookshops?
Yes, my books are in the New to You bookshop in Cosham, and also Havant, St. Faith's bookshop in Havant. Summit and the bookshop in Lee.
Brilliant.
Lee on the Solent.
Can they buy a book directly from you, or does it have to come through a publisher?
At the moment, I haven't sold books directly except at book fairs. I will be at St. Faith's Church in Lee selling books with the Portsmouth Authors Collective this coming weekend on Saturday. People can contact me, and I can obviously, you know, I can get books to them. They can get them on Amazon as well, but I don't like to say that word too much.
No, a lot of authors don't. Donna Van, it's been absolutely wonderful having you in, and I'd love to drill more into your personality and writing style, but we only get so long
on
radio, and it's been a pleasure having you in.
Thank you, Bob. It's been wonderful being here. Thank you.
Thank you. I know you have chosen a song, Slip, Slide and Away, Simon and Garfunkel, terrific song.
That's right.
Let's play that now, and we'll be back with Laurie Westron for part two after this stunning song. Slip, Sliding Away, Simon and Garfunkel. Laurie's in the room. Laurie, how are you doing?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing great, thank you.
Part two of Portsmouth Authors Collective with myself and Laurie Westron. And picking up from what we talked about last week, was the last thing I said, can you remember?
Yes, about bad workshop groups.
Yeah, can we come? Will we be talking about that today?
Yeah.
We're touching on it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think that would be good.
So, and of course, our 600-word Pick of the Pops competition has gone so well. I am stunned.
It's fantastic, isn't it? We have had a tremendous response with people submitting stories from all over the country.
Absolutely. I didn't expect the kind of response that we've had. And of course, and I say it every week, it is down to Jackie Green with her amazing marketing skills.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's brilliant. And of course, it's good for the radio station as well, because it's brought us, you know, many more listeners. And if you are one of those people that have entered our competition and you're listening in today, you want to stand by over the next few weeks, because we are going to be picking out some stories at random, not because they were chosen for a short list or a long list. I'm going to pick them at random, and we're going to be reading some out. But anyway, what updates have you got on the competition?
Tell people a little bit about the judging process. So we've had a panel of judges who have read through all of the stories, and from that they have drawn out a selection that will go through to the long list. Then a panel of three judges will look at that long list to determine the short list, and then eventually in July, is it, that we
it will
be
yeah,
early
announcing July.
The winners.
And like I said, I think it was last week, the good thing about this, the whole competition, is more than one pair of eyes that get to see each story.
And I think that's usually the way in competitions, that there are a group of judges, because everyone has, you know, a different perspective on things. But also I think that having a group of judges splits the workload. I mean,
the workload must be immense with this competition.
Well, yes, a lot of that has fallen on Jackie's shoulders, of course, but yes, if I were to read all of those stories, well, that's me done for the rest of the year, I think.
Yeah, that would be me till 2026, yeah. Oh, I believe the pack has got a market coming up this weekend.
We do, yeah. We're going to be in Leon Solent at St. Faith's Church, and they have a summer fete, which I think is going to be fantastic. They always put on a really good fair. And yeah, so we'll be there with a bunch of other traders, and I think probably some music and food and, you know, all sorts of things going on.
Oh, that sounds great. Didn't Donna say she's going?
Yes. Yeah. Donna's going
to
be there.
She was fab, by the way. We haven't had much time to pick up on that. Two Americans in the room. Lovely accent, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
So she's from Texas.
Yes.
You're from Idaho.
Yes.
How far apart are they, do you reckon?
Oh, a couple of thousand miles.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's another world to me, isn't it? Aren't you going to be signing books somewhere else on Saturday?
Yeah, I've double booked myself. Luckily, the two venues are quite close together. So as well as being at St. Faith's Summer Fair, I will be at the bookshop in Leon Solent. Like I say, they're quite close together, so I'll be jogging back and forth between the two venues.
How close together?
Oh, 5-minute walk.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant on your bike doing 2 or 3 miles each way.
No. So the bookshop at Leon Solent is taking part in the big book club. It's part of Independent Bookshop Week. And so there will be a number of authors there signing books. And from Portsmouth Authors Collective, Helen Salisbury will be there, Richard Salisbury will be there, and of course I will be there.
Oh, loads going on. Last week, we were talking about the value of writing workshops and for helping writers to develop their skills. And can you say a little more about that and what actually happens in a good workshop?
I think some workshops will invite writers to read their work out loud on the day, and then they get direct feedback from, you know, the other members of the group who have been listening. I think that there are some difficulties with that style of workshop, though. Last week I mentioned that, you know, there are some people who are naturally gifted at reading. We have quite a few of them in the group. Unfortunately, I'm not one.
And I'm in your club, though. I remember that time that Christine came in, and I have mentioned this, I think, within the last couple of weeks, but I'll bring it up again. We don't get the same listener every day. So Christine came in and she read an excerpt from guest author that week, I think it was, and she read a piece, and I was taken by the way that she read it, and I wanted to hear more because she delivered it in such a brilliant way.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think there's nothing nicer than being read to. I listen to Book at Bedtime on Radio 4 a lot for that very reason. It takes you away into another world.
And it takes us back to our childhood, because most of us got read to at night.
That's right. That's right.
Laurie, I guess one shouldn't be shy to talk to other writers in workshops.
Oh, no. I think we all have a lot to learn from each other. And a good workshop group will probably contain members who are at different points in their writing journey. So some will be new and some will be old hands, and will have a lot of expertise and experience, which will help them to provide really good, honest, useful feedback for, you know, the other members.
Yeah, and everybody to share from each other's talents and skills and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's a good way to get a reader's perspective before you know, take your writing further.
I guess that's one of the things. Some people are shy, even though they've written for somebody, you know, maybe not necessarily close to them, but somebody to read their manuscript before it's published. And some people are eager to get it published, but they really should get people reading it before they publish.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think a lot of us, when we are so close to a piece of work, we think it's finished because we know how much work we've put into it. And so we're eager to get other people to read it. So there is a temptation to publish too soon before that critiquing process has actually had a chance to develop the work.
And which you should look at that critiquing process as something very positive.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I think a lot of people are nervous about going to workshop groups and about having other people read their material. It's a little bit like you're bearing your soul to other people, and that can be uncomfortable.
Sure,
but
sure.
I think it really is essential if you're wanting to develop your skills, and as I say, to get other people's perspectives, because you know what you're trying to say in your story. Do other people pick up on that same message, that same depth, or is there some more work that needs to be done? And a workshop group can help you figure that out.
A person needs to be quite brave to go to a workshop.
I think you do. A workshop group isn't about, it's not a competition, you know?
Sure, you said that last week, didn't you? And it isn't.
It's not a competition. And good workshop group, all of the members should be there to help each other, not to tear each other down. And I guess that was my point about, you know, that I wanted to make about bad workshop groups, because I'm sure they exist. I've never been part of one, but I know other people who've had negative experiences in workshops, and that has come about because other members have been, I think, probably quite competitive and wanting to show their expertise, and can be quite critical in a negative way.
Yeah, it is really important, I think, to accept criticism in a very positive way.
And it needs to be delivered in a positive way as well. You know, it's about helping the writer to develop, not to tear them down and, you know, make cutting, hurtful remarks about a piece of work. But equally, I think the writer does need to have a little bit of a thick skin, and they need to be able to step away from their writing and accept what other people have to say about it. And I always say to students that if two or three people are making very similar comments about your story, if they're saying that, you know, they don't understand what's going on at this particular point, or the character is not acting the way you've set him up to act, then pay attention to that. If one person makes that comment, then you can kind of take that with a grain of salt and decide yourself whether or not it's valid. But yeah, if you've got multiple people saying similar things about a story, then pay attention.
Absolutely. And I suppose, you know, self-praise is no praise, something my dad always used to say. Get someone else's opinion. And praise is all good and well, but does it always help?
There are those workshop groups as well, which I would class under the bad variety of workshop groups, where it's basically a platform for people to pat each other on the back. And that's okay. That's okay if people want to just share their stories. But if they're actually wanting to publish their stories, then I think praise is not necessarily a great thing. It doesn't help us develop.
Absolutely. Laurie, as ever, it's been great talking with you. We have to cut it because we're running out of time again. Got so much to say, haven't we?
And there's always a lot to say, Bob.
There certainly is. Laurie, thanks for this week, and I will see you again next week.
Fabulous. See you then, Bob.
Oh, I just want to throw in that on Monday, we're going to start reading stories from our 600-word story competition entries. Pick of the Pops. We were inundated with entries, and I just think it's only fair that we read more out than we intentionally were going to do. So as of early July, we will be reading the top 10, what we call the short list. But also, I thought it would be a good idea to read out more than that. So as of Monday, and every day, Monday to Friday, for the next 2 weeks, we will be reading one of the stories from those entries. And it'll be picked at random, so we don't know what we're going to get. We're just going to be given one, and we'll read them, and I'm really looking forward to that. So stick around to hear some of those. Well, I know some of those stories have been amazing.